Blog Talk Radio.
Cut us a check. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the war room. You got Dev, Chill, yeah. Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the hot block commander.
I'll give it to you how you want it in a 1 to 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics. Sort of like some rebels when it's game time. They like the Fab Five still on prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
It's the second week of August, and you are back at the round table. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm the Nature Boy, Jimmy Williams, and alongside me at the round table is B. Austin, Dr. Akil Bayon, and PJ, a.k.a. Paul Johnson. The 2012 Summer Olympics, guess what? They've been tremendous. Or should I call them the Games of the 30th in London? And Dev is actually out there in London. Hopefully we'll hear from him later. He's out there, you know, covering the Olympics for us. But we want to talk about what you've seen thus far. Near the top of the hour, we'll be talking to executive Nikita Adams about, you know, her upcoming sports and entertainment symposium in Washington, D.C. We are on the Warm Sports, handling the sports part of that. That's Sunday, August 12th. Make sure you get this information if you are interested in getting into the sports and or entertainment business. We want to hear from you guys as usual. So if you have any questions or comments, jump into that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. That's one word, the war room. blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. Or join us on Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, that's at War Room Sports. You can also address your questions or comments directly to us when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Before we get started, we'd like to shout out a couple of our shows. Make sure you check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line. That's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon, Chris, and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and that's on ueradiolive.com. Lastly, don't forget, in addition to Thursday, our show is syndicated on New Vibe Radio. That's newviberadio.com every Friday at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. You guys ready to go to work?
Yes,
absolutely.
Sir. Yes, sir.
But anyway,
this is all I do. This is how I define myself.
Listen. Bottom line, everybody out there, make sure you're always tuned in. You know what I mean? We're all over the internet. We dominate the internet. But anyway, let's get started with this show. Let's jump right into these birthdays. You guys ready?
Absolutely, brother.
Yes, sir.
Let's get it popping. The first birthday I want to bring up is one Jamarcus Tranell Russell, who turns 27. What more can I say? Be awesome.
Nothing. Listen, Jamarcus Russell may end up being the biggest bust in the history of the universe of sport. I don't even need to go past sports, the history of the universe. And the funniest thing about it is we all could see it when he was at LSU. Yeah, he had the strongest arm ever. Yeah, he could throw the ball far. But, yo, there was nothing that indicated he should be the first pick and get all that money. Nothing. Then he went in the combine and he threw 80 yards from his knees. Hello, GMs, dumbasses, when you're on your knees – in the NFL, you're down. When you're on your knees in life, you're beaten.
Yeah, it's one of them things. When you look at the combines, right, a lot of the things they make these athletes do are never come
are
into
irrelevant.
In the game. You know what I mean? So it's one of them things where I understand that it shows athleticism, but it also shows that a lot of these coaches feel as though if you get them an athlete, it doesn't matter what their skill set is. They can coach him up, so to speak.
Jimmy, the funny thing is, athletically, we're going away from arm strength. He wasn't even really an athlete. He wasn't that athletic. He wasn't fast. His lateral motion wasn't good. He could just throw the ball real far.
Yeah, but you also got to understand who it was that drafted him. I mean, he got drafted by a dead man. Yeah, he got drafted by a dead man, literally. He was dead a couple of years before he drafted him. You know what I'm saying? And besides the fact that he's a Raider, and I hate everything about the Raiders, so I'm glad they made that pick. But, Doc, hey, what's your thoughts on Jamarcus Rubbish? I mean, Rob.
Man, Jamarcus Russell, I think about, you know, my theory, like, since he could throw 70 yards from one knee or from his knees, he could have crafted a career as a place kicker holder. So, and he could be the guy, like, let's say when they wanted to do a fake field goal, he could, you know, throw a fly route 70 yards from his knees during that time with the kicker, like, faking the kick.
I see what you did there.
Okay.
Hey, man. It is that man's birthday, and we didn't mean to slander him like that.
He also has a drug problem. He likes to drink prescription cough syrup.
Yeah, you know what I wish? I wish we had the sound bite. Sipping on some scissor.
No, I mean, it's not about sipping him, man. You know, it is his birthday.
My birthday,
yay! So let's definitely send him a he gets two birthday shout-outs because, you know, he is a special ed. Anyway, let's move on to the next birthday. The next birthday I want to bring up to you gentlemen is one Shamika Holzclaw, who turns 35. She turns 35. So, guys, when I say that, Shamika Holzclaw, what comes to mind?
Yo, with Shamika Holzclaw, I think of Tennessee dominant basketball and her just being with Tennessee and them breaking records, her going to the WNBA and being nice, and then due to depression, just taking a break and saying, you know what, I don't want to play ball anymore. I think of my homie Brad Anderson and the homie Zeke, and I guess Zeke's friendship with Shamika Holzclaw. And, yeah, that's about it, man.
No doubt. Awesome.
Yo, she was a 6-time All-Star. I didn't even realize that. Rebounding champ, scoring champ. Yo, she was nice. And then she just said it's not fulfilling. And, of course, shout out to the homie Zeke the Freak Scott and one basketball player and Vince Carter clone. And if you don't get why we're shouting him out on Shamika Holzclaw's birthday, think about it. You'll figure it out.
Chill, man. I got nothing to say on that note, man. You out of pocket, yo. The next birthday I want to bring up is one Douglas Lee, a.k.a. Doug Williams.
It's my birthday. Yay!
Now, Doug Williams turns 57. I'm going to start with you this time, Austin. When I say Doug Williams, what comes to mind?
I'm going to go another direction than what most people would go in. Particularly black protectionists will always try and say he's the greatest black quarterback of all time anywhere because he won one Super Bowl. I think Doug Williams was a very, very talented quarterback, and I feel bad that in the age that he kind of came up in, he never really had the chance to shine. He wasn't given a fair shot in Tampa Bay, and even that season with the Redskins, he wasn't the starting quarterback. And only started like 3 or 4 games during the regular season. So I think more so what would have been if he'd have been given a fair shake to really start instead of, you know, just the consolation prize to me, which is the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Doc Beck.
Yeah, I think of, you know, black quarterback winning the Super Bowl, playing with the Redskins after taking over for Jay Schrader that year.
Think of him bombing your Denver Broncos.
Yeah, man, that was crazy. And I think of Grambling, you know, and the coach, great coach A. Robinson, where Doug Williams went, and him and Warren Moon paving the way for the current black quarterbacks of today. But unfortunately, it seemed like their accuracy was much higher than the current black quarterbacks of today.
Yeah, I mean, his skill set was there. Like Austin said, you know, we don't know what would have been, but at the end of the day, you can't judge somebody based upon what would have been. But, you know, I have mixed emotions when it comes to his name because as an African-American, it was great to see an African-American quarterback succeed at the highest level. But at the same time, he was beating on my squad. So, actually, he was rooting against him, and I was hoping he broke a leg in that Super Bowl, literally. But, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. You know, we got two chips after that, so FOH to Doug Williams. But anyway, shout out to him because it definitely is his birthday. And we have another birthday I want to go over. You guys, this is the last birthday of the week, and that birthday is one, Deion Sanders. That's right. I said his middle name is Lewin. Deion Lewin Sanders.
Birthday. Yay!
When I say Deion Sanders, Doc Bay, what comes to mind?
I think of prime time. Prime time. And him running a 4-2, them just basically shutting down the whole half of the field. So, you know, when offensive game plan, they had to say, okay, we just can't throw to Deion's side. We have to make all our routes go to the other side. Him just being coming out of Florida, well, Florida State, and, you know, just being a crazy athlete. There has not been a better cornerback than him since he played. Now, he did not tackle at all, so I don't know how much that takes away from his greatness. But in terms of coverage, man, he's the blueprint of what all cornerbacks should aspire to be. And shout out to him because he has one of the biggest houses in the DFW area. When people come in to visit, they say, hey, yo, let's go by Deion's house because – it takes up a whole block. And obviously he got into a beef and a fight with his ex-wife. So it's just so much stuff about Deion. But I remember that video, Must Be the Money, that he made with, he made that with.
Here's the thing. In terms of his ability, he's one of the greatest cornerbacks I've ever seen because he literally was the definition of a shutdown corner. They call a lot of guys shutdown corners today who just really aren't shutdown corners, but Deion was that. I mean, no one threw to his side, and you did, you know, at your own peril. In terms of his tackling, like Deion said, he didn't get paid to tackle. That's not what he got paid for. So, but he also was one of the greatest athletes, him and Bo Jackson. You talk about playing multiple sports. I mean, and you know, being successful at both sports. Because if I'm not mistaken, didn't he win a championship in baseball?
Yes. Yes, he won the World. He played in a playoff game and a World Series game in the same day.
Come on, man. Like, come on. Who does that, man? All the time rocking a Jerry curl, too, looking like Randy Watson. Anyway, but with that being said, man, Deion definitely was an all-time great player. You know, shout out to him on his birthday. And
y'all
by
must
the way,
be, y'all must be saving mine for last.
Of course, of course. That would be awesome.
Now, normally, I don't support guys that dress like Deion, talk like Deion, or act like Deion. But coming up in my youth in football, other than Ronnie Lott, and it's funny because they're polar opposites, yo, there's no defensive player in the 80s and 90s that I loved more than Deion Sanders. There's a ton of quotables. One time he was lined up against some no-name receiver, and he was getting teased by the opposition, and they said, you know, why don't you make more tackles? Deion said, in the middle of the game, raised his helmet up a little bit and said, why don't you make more money? And there's just a ton of examples of how good he was. As Jimmy alluded to, quarterbacks really just stopped throwing to his side to a point where he devised a strategy of pretending to be injured so that they would test him. So that you have an opportunity to break on the ball. And that's the other thing. There is no human being that I have ever seen that could break on a route, change direction, running full speed, and then break on a route like Deion Sanders. His plant and drive was immaculate conception, man. I'm shedding a tear remembering the career, man. Dude.
Shout out to the homie Willie Garland down in Florida. He wants to point out that Deion was also – All-State in basketball in high school
yes.
as well.
Listen, exactly. he got his nickname from a basketball game when he did a windmill dunk from a stand. Dude was a primate, yo. And he ran a 10.08 in the 100.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Come on, man.
Yo, he still hoops. You know, in his 40s, he still hoops out here in the DFW. Like, every now and then.
He ran a 10.08 in the 100, you said?
Ran a 10.08. Yeah, he was a silver medalist in the NCAA track and field. Yo, listen to this, Jimmy. The dude was a silver medalist. There was a day that he at FSU where he played in a football game, a basketball game, and ran in a track meet.
Yo.
And ran a 10.08 and came out, and dudes in that were, you know, went on to run like Michael Haynes ran in the Olympics and Carl Lewis. All of them have said if Deion wanted to, he would have been a world-class Olympic sprinter.
Yeah,
he was,
I mean,
that bad.
That right there is just ridiculous athleticism. I mean, come on, man. Like, you know, people aren't built like that these days. I didn't even realize that he was a good basketball player. I mean, I knew about the track. I didn't know he ran that fast of a time, but I knew he did run track. But I didn't know he was that nice in hoops too. Like that's just crazy, man. That's
he was all state. He was I don't know if he was all state, but he was recognized as a great basketball player in high school.
Yeah, yeah. What's to say? Willie Garland said he was all state, so we're going to take Willie's word for it. But, you know, in terms of cornerbacks, like when you look at cornerbacks these days, they call a lot of people shutdown corners, but people get it twisted in terms of what a shutdown corner is. You know what I mean? Like, he is the definition. They didn't throw to – I've seen entire games where they didn't even test him. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you not even test this dude? Anyway, man. Doc Bay, we had a call on the line.
Yeah, I went to the screening room and no one answered. So
okay, cool, no problem. Well, anyway, I just want everybody to know that the birthday segment was brought to you by Bay Financial Services. In order to get in touch with them, go to our website wardensports.com and click on Bay Financial Services. Now, let everybody know what happened while they were on the grind, Dr. Bayon.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, while y'all were on the grind, is brought to you by Philly Auto Design. You can find them at phillyautodesign.com and get your rim game up, get your tire game up, and, you know, if you want to turn your whip into a convertible, hey, contact Philly Auto Design and they'll send you to the right people. All right.
Yeah, we chop them ghosts up, them Rolls Royces. We drop them.
And speaking of which, from one of our other sponsors, Audible.com, I know a couple of us have listened to the Shaq book, Shaq Uncut. You remember that part where he said he took two Lamborghinis and would chop them up so he could make it he would buy two Lamborghinis, cut them in half, and then have them welded back together so he could fit.
Yo, I'll tell you one thing. In terms of Shaq, like, yo, you can feel how you want to feel about him. The dude has, like, some of the greatest stories ever.
Ever.
Crazy. All right.
Ever.
Now, The first story we have, free agent guard Chris Smith from Louisville has signed with the New York Knicks, uniting him with older brother J.R., please call me Earl, Smith. So what do you think about this move, fellas?
Go ahead, Jimmy, because I don't care.
Here's the thing. I don't know about Chris Smith in terms of him as a person. But I just hope he's, like, nothing like his brother and, you know, in terms of how he carries himself or what have you, because they don't need that in New York. Let's put it that way. There's already a lot of distractions playing in New York. You don't need two J.R. Smiths on your team. First of all, if he plays like him, there's not enough shots to go around.
Yeah, he's a point guard, and I would imagine just based on how family dynamics work, him being a younger brother, he's probably a pass-first because his older brother is going to shoot all the shots or it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a rumble.
Yeah, I could see that. But I just hope, like, you know, with all the distractions in New York and, you know, they brought in Chris Smith, but they let your man go. I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see whether this is a good move or not. Only time will tell. Let's just put it that way. What do you feel about it, Dr. A?
What's interesting is they started his career at Manhattan, and we average about, like, 13.6 rebounds and 3 blocks a game. And then he transferred to Louisville as a walk-on and 6'2", 195. I don't know. Maybe they're just, you know, signing him. Because I don't think they're going to sign him to – I don't think his contract is a guaranteed contract.
It's not guaranteed. It's not. It's a camp contract.
Yeah, so he'll go to camp, and, you know, that looks good on his resume. So when it's time for him to go overseas, he can say, hey, look, played here at college, went to the Knicks camp, you know, played in our summer league team, so on and so forth, so you can make about 6 figures overseas with that nice little resume. So there you go.
I'm not really familiar with his body of work. Y'all have heard me discuss J.R. Smith many, many times on the show. I've been a fan of him so long, and I've been telling people it's coming. He's going to put it all together. He's going to be one of the most dynamic and great two guards in the world, and he's essentially cacaed upon me and left me out to dry. So, you know, FOH to him and his brother.
Hey, now, one more thing on Chris Smith. He scored, and this is no joke, well, he scored 18 points at Villanova, and he scored 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists against Morehead State in the second round of the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I guess he tried to put up some good numbers.
Yeah, he was getting Morehead.
All right, now, the next story we have. Former NBA guard and current Kentucky assistant coach Rod Strickland was arrested near the Kentucky campus Thursday and charged with driving on a DUI suspended license. Strickland, age 46, was also charged with not having registered license plates and failure to signal. What do you guys think about this story?
If you are a true basketball head from like the 90s and early 2000s, you're probably asking us why we're reporting this as news, as if this is something unexpected.
Rod Strickland with that dude, man. Like,
He was. He was able to – some guys are able to play high. Shout out to J.R. Ryder and AI. Some guys are able to play drunk. Shout out to Vin Baker and Rod Strickland. I mean, he can do it. And
man,
he can live his life.
Magic Johnson once said that Rod Strickland was the best guard in the NBA to make things happen. And Rod Strickland was that dude when he played – I saw him as their assistant coach, and I was watching. I was like, okay, let's see how far he moves up the coaching ranks. Hopefully this won't intervene with his progress. But, you know, he definitely was working with the guards, because I've seen a couple different specials about how he works with the guards on the team. So,
Rod Strickland, his behavior has actually hindered him as a player, because if you look at his stat line – and where he ranked while he was playing, not all time, but just while he was in the league, he's never made an all-star team. And that's preposterous to me.
Yo, Rod Strickland, while we were in D.C., and I guess I was at the height of my career playing at Howard, just in terms of physically, you know, Rod Strickland was like my idol, man, because he could shoot the three, he could shoot the mid-range, he could take you off the bounce left, take you off the bounce right, he could post you up, he could make the pass. So I was like, well, if I want to be the most complete guard that I can be at 6'3", 185, which was height he was in weight and the height I was in weight, I was like, yo, it's Rod Strickland. And then he used to get blitzed so much. Like, he'd be around D.C. just high as a kite. So
yo,
I think this might be the fifth time I've seen him getting stopped, either with a DUI or some type of driving while high situation. And he was so good coming out of college that the Knicks had Mark Jackson, who got, I think he was rookie of the year, and I think made the All-Star team as a rookie. And they were like, you know what, no, we're going to draft another NYC point guard from the Bronx out of DePaul, Rod Strickland. So shout out to him. He could do it all.
Yo, Jimmy, you know, it's funny that Kill brings that up, because we were both Howard alum, and being in D.C., it's like, yo, Rod Strickland getting caught, like, in these positions, like, is so much the norm here in D.C. when it's like, oh, yeah, Rod Strickland, they found him in the gutter. He was asleep, and his car was across the street with the door open. Oh, okay, all right, that's normal. Rod Strickland gets pulled over. He has, like, 4 hammers and 2 bottles in the car. Oh, no, that's cool. It's Rod. No problem. Like, that's the norm. That's not even shocking. He had a season where he averaged 18 and 10. 18 and 10 assists. And then for his career, he's a 13 and 7 guy. So, dude, he was okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. It's funny because we remember, like, you know, on a positive note, the way he played, but it seems as though he's only in the news now for something negative. But anyway, let's move on. Go ahead, Kill.
All right. Now, the next story we have is NBA player Steven Jackson will release his album, Jack of All Trades, on his independent label, Secret Society Entertainment. In 2012, the San Antonio Spurs guard dropped mixtapes like What's a Lockout and Trill Mixes under his moniker Stack 5. Now, before I let you brothers go, I was listening to another radio show that was hosted with Penny Hardaway and another guy, and they had Nas on. And then while they had Nas, Penny Hardaway, Charles Oakley, and then Steve Jackson called in, and Steven Jackson was like, yo, Nas, you know, it's a pleasure to be on the air with you. And then they're talking, and then Steve Jackson is like, hey, yo, can I spit a freestyle? And he just spits an acapella freestyle, you know, in front of Nas, I guess trying to get put on. So shout out to him. Hey, Jimmy, what do you have to say about this article?
All right, now, first off, I'm going to admit that I actually listened to his mixtapes, and here's why. I listen to Everything Moving, man. I give everything a chance, man. Was I impressed? Not really. Was he exactly horrible? Not really, but it's funny to hear someone who plays in the NBA with the content and subject matter that he had. It's kind of comical. You know, you talking about pulling out choppers and all that. Not saying you ain't about that life, but, dog, you playing a league at this point. Cut it out. Now,
you ain't about
man,
that
I know,
life.
I know my man DJ Willie G is listening in. I see him listening in, man. Like, I want to know how you feel about Steven Jackson. What's his name? Stack 5. How do you feel about his music? How do you feel about him, like, you know, saying some of the things he says on the microphone? B. Austin, have you ever heard his music?
Absolutely not. And I absolutely will never hear his music unless it's by accident or I'm tied up. One of his goonies ties me up, holds the chopper to my head, and forces me to listen. That's the only way that I'll listen to ignorance. See, what happens is when you let these dudes get money, at a certain point you can't stop them because you've let them out the zoo. And this is a perfect example of you let him out the zoo, man. Now deal with it.
Yo, here's my thing, right? I'm on front. He had one song with Scarface that was bananas, but it really wasn't because of him. My man,
yeah,
Brad Jordan.
Nothing to do with him.
Brad Jordan got busy on that joint, but other than that, yeah, he can keep that. He could definitely keep his music, man. Like, you know, it's funny how many of these athletes, you know, they open up barbershops or record labels. Like, they don't have any other investment strategies. The homie DJ Willie G just called in, man. Let's hear his opinion on Stack 5, whatever he calls himself. DJ Willie G, what's up, homie?
What's good, fellas?
Stack 5,
yeah, really?
DJ. This is a real DJ.
You ever listen to Steven Jackson, man?
Nah, man. I don't believe in basketball players being rappers, man.
I don't either.
The only dude that really had to pull it off was Shaq. And that was 90s.
Shaq had songs with Pop, Big, Jay-Z, Nas. Shaq knew what it was. I'm going to get a gang of features on this joint.
Hey, but you got your boy. You got your boy A.I., a.k.a. Jules. What he do?
Jules.
A.I. had 40 bars, though. A.I. 40 bars was tough.
You got your boy Lou Will trying to drop, you know what I'm saying, trying to drop a high fire.
He is terrible.
No problem.
You got Ron Artest trying to rap. You had Kobe Bryant trying to rap. Come on,
Kobe had bars, though. Come on, man. Kobe had bars, man. It was kind of soft, but he had bars.
And then for some millionaire cats who got $10, $15, $20 million in the bank talking about Sprink, AKs, and all that. Come on, man.
The funny thing is, Willie, you know the city that we're all from, and Lou Will was running around that city talking that talk, and the way the mentality of a Philadelphian, a young black male in Philly under 40, is if you say it, then they're going to test you.
You got to be about it. Y'all really about that life up there, man. Right?
Man. they went to Lou Willville and said, brother, you don't have to come up out that car. And where them stacks you was rapping about, we need that. And that chain, that $200,000 chain, we'll take that.
Oh, they got them? They got them for that, too?
What happened was homie was about to do all of that and pull Lou. I mean, he put the gun to Lou Will. He was in the car, was about to come up off of everything, but then he was like, oh, no, that's Lou Will. You know, he does good in the community and gives back, so he let him off the hook.
Dang.
Yeah, I don't believe in sports. I don't believe in sports people trying to rap, man.
Yo, did you ever hear Steve Francis?
Steve Francis.
It was made in a time capsule from 1994.
Yeah, he talking that big money talk. He talking that that money talk on his, but it's just kind of hilarious, man. And the funny thing is, like, because they are basketball players, we don't give them a fair shake anyway. But it is what it is. Like, you know, if a rapper.
The only reason they get on is because they already got the money, and they already known.
Yeah, this is true, but you know, I guess it's the same thing when you see rappers who try to play ball or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a shock when you see somebody that could actually run rock. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
I just want to see you, because he's from Port Arthur, Texas, man. So you know, I know you ride with everybody down south.
Yo, Master P was a better basketball player than he was rapper.
Stop it.
You need to holler at Bumpy.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Might be. Yeah, he was hard boy.
Hey, Willie G, thanks for the call. We're about to move on to our next topic. Shout out to Willie G, everybody.
DJ Willie G, the hottest DJ in the South. Go cop that.
DJ
Willie G. All right, bro.
All right, peace. All right, now, the last topic we have is the potential blockbuster deal with the Philadelphia 76ers, Orlando Magic, and the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Denver Nuggets. And the potential blockbuster deal would send Andre Iguodala to the Nuggets, Orlando center Dwight Howard, and Denver forward Al Harrington will all be shipped to the Lakers, who would send Andrew Bynum to the Philadelphia 76ers. Orlando would receive forward Pau Gasol from the Lakers and guard Aaron Afflalo from Denver. Orlando guard Jason Richardson has also been mentioned prominently as part of the deal. B. Austin, how do you feel about this possible trade going down?
As a Sixers fan, I'm ecstatic. I mean, Iggy, I'm not as hard on Iggy as most folks are because I never expected him to replace his uncle, Allen Iverson. I never expected that, and he did. You know, he played to his potential, recognized in an all-star game, although he's had better seasons. But if you have an opportunity to get someone of Andrew Bynum's caliber and all you got to give up is Iggy, yo, that's a win. I'd do that trade 11 times out of 10. So for us, it's cool. I feel as though for the Magic, if I'm giving up Dwight, I think I would want more than Powell and Aaron Aflalo back, more so because of Powell's age than because of his skill level. I think the Lakers make out pretty well because Steve Nash as a pick and roll point guard, it's kind of like whatever big man runs the pick and roll with him, it's like he's a puppeteer, and he's Geppetto, and Dwight is going to be Pinocchio, the liar or the feminine storyteller or whatever. So he's going to benefit from that. So I think that his offensive production will spike up. I can see him getting 25, 26, maybe even 27 a game playing with that pick and roll in place. But you still lose something as the Lakers if you don't have Powell and you don't have Bynum. They're both gone, and you're expecting someone who is somewhat limited offensively to replace that production. So I think that would be a bit of a challenge. But, hey, he is the best overall talent at center in the league, so I think you take a flyer on it, and it's a decent move. But you got to find something to replace Pau Gasol if you're the Lakers.
Replace him from what? He hasn't done nothing the last 2 years.
Well, I mean, you say that. I guess you wanted to see complete and utter dominance, but, I mean, I still would say he's one of the top 10 power forwards in the league. And his particular set of skills, kind of away from the basket, not so much as a scorer like a Ryan Anderson or Kevin Love away from the basket, but as a passer, you can run offense through him on the high post. Those are things that aren't easily found in big men. So
here's my thing. With all that being said, he has that skill set, but if you don't work hard and display that skill set, I don't care. I mean, Tim Thomas had a skill set, but he never used it. So it doesn't really matter. I like the move because anytime you have a chance to get, like, you know, one of the top five players in the league, which Dwight Howard is. Dwight Howard is the best center in the game. So if you get the best center in the game, you got to make the move. I mean, you are giving up a lot considering you give up 2 7-footers, but you're also getting the hired gun, Al Harrington, back to give you some points. And that was one of the things the Lakers were missing last year when you watched them play. They went through spurts when Kobe wasn't in the game. They had nobody who could score because Powell, Gasol, just wasn't there mentally. Powell hasn't been there mentally in years. So they really missed a lot of scoring, you know.
But the way Al Harrington scores can end up being a hindrance because though he's a big body, offensively, he played in his mind, no one can tell him he's not a two guard. So you're not getting big man production from Al, especially not on offense.
But if he can score, we need points. We need buckets. I don't care how you get them buckets. We need buckets.
Al Harrington ain't made a shot that he don't
never,
like.
Al Harrington never met a gun that he never met a gun he wouldn't pick up.
He looked like Jadakiss or somebody. But I think we'll see it. Yeah, but the Lakers, I think they do lose the, you know, the 2 7-footers, but they get, like y'all already said, pretty much the best center in the league, athleticism, defense, shot blocking. They do get that. As a Sixers fan, I'll take it. Like Brad said,
I'll take it.
We had a big man in town since Moses, haven't we?
Moses.
I would definitely take it. Exactly.
What about Sherron Wright?
Yeah, like I said, man.
Matt Geiger.
I just hope that Doug can talk some sense to him because if not, I'm going to be suspended half the year anyway.
That's true. We don't know what he's going to do upstairs in terms of mentally where he's going to be or if he's going to shut down. That's the only thing about Bynum outside of his health and his injury. But you don't know what he's going to be up top in the head, man. He might be.
They need to get him in the locker room and whoop his ass real good and let him know what time it is before any of that mess start. Or take him down Diamond Street and let the Akis talk to him or something.
Before you say anything, Doc Bay, I just got to say that if Iggy is, in fact, leaving, he kind of got a bad rap. And we talked about this before. I was actually arguing a couple minutes ago with Eric Cross and Brent Easley. I'm putting their names out there. Because they call Iggy a bum. It's one thing to say that he didn't live up to his potential, but to call him a bum is crazy. I mean, he had a season averaging 25-5. And my point is, there's no bum that puts up 25-5. Like, there just
Who?
Isn't.
Who?
Iggy did. Iggy had a season where he
averaged 25. Oh, yeah, no, Iggy's no bum by any stretch.
It's just the fact that he got that big contract. He got that big contract in which they paid him as the number one option, and he definitely isn't a number one option. But with that being said, he's one of the best all-around. It's a reason he's been in the Olympic team twice. He's been an all-star. Like, his resume is nice in terms of
Jimmy.
I think
Jimmy, he never – the most he ever averages 20. He averaged 19.9. You're right, you meant 20, then 5, and then 5. Okay, I thought you meant like 25.
Oh, I thought you were saying 25 and 5. I thought you were saying 25 PPGs. I thought you were saying
yeah,
25
I didn't even
games.
20,
25, then 5, then another 5.
Then another 2. Two steals.
The only thing about Iggy, I think Iggy is a role player. Not in a negative way, but he does bring a lot to the table. It's just that he's not a number one scoring option. And I think
he's
that's
Joe Johnson.
The Sixers needed that. Well, Joe Johnson, I think, is better offensively.
He's more of a scorer.
I think he's a better defender than Joe Johnson.
Yeah, he is. Much better.
Absolutely.
But why he averaged 12 last year? Why he averaged 12 last year? He almost averaged less than what
Iggy? Who, Joe?
Iggy averaged 12 last
That's
year.
That's the thing about Iggy is, like, you can't really – if you need him for scoring, you're going to be let down because the scoring is going to be inconsistent. But
yeah.
I think he still brings a very tenacious perimeter defender. He runs the floor. He can finish. You know, he can rebound. He's strong.
He can pass a little bit.
Yeah, he can pass. He can pass. He ain't got no left hand, but, hey, listen, they ain't never heard
Neither
AI.
Did Dr. J.
I know. He had a hoof. Dr. J had a hoof. So he probably didn't necessarily.
I think that move works out for all teams involved. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. Only time will tell, but I like the move, actually, for every team involved.
I wonder will it happen, though, man. They keep talking on these trades. Like, I'm like,
man, it's based on what type of sanitary napkins Dwight Howard has on that desk.
No! But real quick, y'all. Man. Hey, TJ, real quick, tell everybody how they can get in touch with us. We have our guests on the line waiting to come on. So, so everybody get in touch with us.
Absolutely. Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can always email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and then click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair and Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. Now, to get into the chat room, you just have to sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is just like raising your hand, so raise your hand and we just might holler. Jim.
All right. Our guest is on the line. Our guest is on the line.
Gia.
Nikita, what's going on,
hey.
Dear? You're in
you
the war
what?
Room.
I was starting to get withdrawal. We haven't spoken in about 4 hours. We've normally talked every half hour. In preparation for our event on Sunday. So I'm glad I got you guys on the line. How you doing?
Man, we are blessed
good,
and
good.
Highly favored and happy to be here.
Oh, don't make me start shouting now. God is good, ain't he?
Hey, man, he gave us sports. So with that being said, Nikita, listeners,
yes.
Tell them what's going on. We've got a very special event coming up this Sunday, August the 12th from 1:30 to 7 p.m., and you need to be there. And Nikita, please tell these people why.
Listen, I'm very excited about this event. This is a sports and entertainment symposium. This is going to be a very concentrated time of learning about the entertainment industry and the sports industry if you're interested in being in either as a career. A lot of times people will make entering the entertainment industry or entering the sports industry, they make it seem like it's spooky and you have to know a secret handshake, but that's just not the case. It is a profession. It is a business, so you have to understand the business etiquette. And trust me, if I can figure it out, if you all can figure it out, then anybody can figure it out. So we're going to share some very, very valuable information about different careers that you may not know about, in terms of representation, sports marketing. If you're interested in entertainment, I'm going to be there. I'm a film executive. We have television editors who are going to be there, music executives, really to give you a lot of information, free, by the way, free information to those people who want to have careers in our industries.
Right. Now, Nikita, can you tell us some of the panelists that are going to be there and some of the topics that we're going to cover?
Yes, I can. The symposium is entitled Hollywood and Sports, How It All Works. And so we're going to tell you very basically how the entertainment industry works and how the sports industry works. So from 2 until 4, As they said, the event starts at 1:30. From 1:30 until 2, we're going to do our free on-site registration. So you need to come and register to decide what breakout groups you want to be a part of. But at 2 o'clock, we're having our first panel, Hollywood, How It Works. And we have some wonderful panelists. I'm going to be on the panel. My personal lawyer, my personal entertainment lawyer, he's also a music executive. He owns a music label in New York. He's flying from New York to sit on that panel. His name is Bob Celestin. My dear friend, who's vice president of international programming and production at BET, who actually gave me my first job out of college, she's going to be on the panel to talk to people about reality television and how to create a reality television show and pitch that reality television show to either a television production company or a network. And then it's going to be moderated. That panel will be moderated by television producer Ralph K. Scott, who's also coming in from New York. Then from 4 until 5, we're going to have something very unique. We're going to have breakout sessions. So everyone who's sitting on a panel will have a breakout session, and it'll be a small group so you can speak to the individuals one-on-one and have a little bit more intimacy about what they do. So we're going to have a music panel. We're going to have a television editor, someone who specializes in post-production to introduce that as a career to people. Then one of my favorites, social media and marketing, a dear gentleman who I went to Howard with, along with some of you all, Maxwell Powers. He's a social media and marketing expert in all industries, but entertainment and sports. So he's going to be there to give some insight on how to make that your career. And then we have, moving to the sports side of things, we have a very impressive gentleman, Alan Ellison. I always stumble on his name, but he's a sports agent. He represents NASCAR drivers. Then, of course, the brothers from the War Room, they're going to be in leading a small breakout group about sports branding, and then I'll be there, as I said, to do a small breakout group on film. Then after the breakout groups, we're going to come back together and do another panel on sports, and that panel is going to be sponsored by my dear friends at War Room Sports, and Devin McMillan is going to moderate that. I think you guys know him.
Yeah, I heard of that dude.
Kind of short, good-looking guy. So we're going to have one of my dear friends, Nika Williams. She's a public relations manager in sports. And let me just kind of underscore that. You know, we all love, you know, you all love sports. And, you know, there's a certain amount of people idolizing the athletes. But sometimes those athletes get into trouble, and they – hire someone like Nika, who's a public relations manager, to manage the trouble they may get into. Let's just say it's, you know, they're speeding or they're having an extramarital affair. Well, you have to have someone on your team to work with the media to make sure that story is spit in a way.
So you're saying if they're living in the fast lane, they got to do some damage control.
Yes, and the people who handle the damage control get paid very well. But those professions are not really underscored. So we just want to let people know that there is a profession and you can live very well if you do that. Then we're going to have the CEO and also the vice president of marketing for Gaston Management Group. They're going to be there. Very impressive people speaking to us again about sports representation, but also sports marketing and imaging on an imaging and on a branding side. Then we're going to have a screening of a wonderful film by my dear friend Ralph Scott called Barbasol. There's going to be a little networking. There's going to be some giveaways. You know, everyone's going to be there. We're going to have a great time. This is a free event. It's going to be at a venue that is absolutely amazing. It's in Northwest Washington, D.C., right across a few doors down from the School of Business at Howard University. It's called the Enterprise Theater and Jazz Lounge, and it's at 2917 Georgia Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C., 2000, or rather, it's 20001.
Now,
so I know
Nikita,
I did a lot of talking. You know, I there was a lot of information, but if you didn't get all of it, please check us out on Facebook, or you can go to, I guess, War Room. I guess it's on the website.
Yeah, we're going to spread
that. WarRoomSports.com. The information is up on our website, and if they need to get in contact with you or your publicist, Nikita, you want to let them know how?
Oh, absolutely. You can definitely contact me on Facebook. My name is Nikita. Actually, it's Nikita S. Adams. I'm on Facebook. I'm happy to give you the information there. And then, of course, yes, our publicist, her beautiful sister, she's a Howard University alumni along with all of us. Her name is Simona Noche, and I wasn't expecting you to ask for that information, so give me a second and I'll find it.
No, that's fine. We got it. You can reach Miss Noche at gmail.com or hit her on the information line, 202-321-5301.
And also, give that information to Don't stop flooding her inbox with a bunch of movie scripts either, man. We don't want that.
No, we don't want that at all. I am a film executive, so I do, you know, I make movies, and I've been making movies for years, and so I know how to make movies. Presently, I work for a studio that's headed by Forrest Whitaker, who's an amazing filmmaker and a wonderful business mind. The new company is called Junto Box Films. Junto Box Films. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm stuttering. But so that is what I do for a living. However, for this event, we're not taking scripts. We're not, you know, auditioning people. We're just giving you information, some information that you otherwise would not get in this kind of setting.
Excellent. And we appreciate it. We will be promoting it up until the very moment that the doors open. We will, War Room Sports will be in the building.
Yes,
I would encourage any and all of our listeners to come out and listen and get this information.
Yeah, and I have to say, I appreciate y'all. You know, I'm not a sports fan, don't know anything about any, you can call any sports team, and I wouldn't know if they played football or soccer. But I really appreciate you all partnering with me to help me make this a hit. I really have a passion about getting this information out, and we're also going. Are we going to be streaming live on War Room Sports or no?
Yeah, we're going to try to set all that up. Like we're working on that now.
Trying to stream up the live stream, so you'll be able to watch it from your computers. But we would prefer that you be there with us.
No
doubt. Yes, we prefer that. Yes. But let's just say you're in Alaska and can't get away, or if you're in Arizona or North Carolina and you can't get there. The information will be available for you because, again, we just want you to have this information. And you can also find me at juntoboxfilms.com, you know, if you need to get any more information about what I do professionally.
No
perfect,
doubt.
Perfect.
We'll be reporting
Nikita.
It. Like you said, we'll definitely keep promoting it. So we'll put the information out there.
We appreciate
right.
you. And we will see you. Yes,
absolutely.
We'll see you on Sunday.
Yes, you guys have made my day. I look forward to seeing you. I'm the one with the dreadlocks. So
yes.
I'll be easy to find, okay?
All right, take it easy.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Next, we got to get into some hot topics.
All right.
Yes, sir.
We got to get into some hot topics. Hot Topics is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phone. Now, if you have a BlackBerry or if you have a Palm, as my good brother Jimmy would always tell you, head straight to the roof, close your eyes, bow your head, and jump off. The latest episode is always available to you. No syncing needed, no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Just click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen, or download on your mobile device directly from the page Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gentlemen, we got to get into these hot topics, man. Penn State, still in the news. The Board of Trustee members have filed an appeal with the NCAA over the sanctions recently levied against the university and its football program. The appeal states that the consent decree signed by University President Rodney Erickson agreeing to the sanctions is null and void because Erickson lacked the legal authority to enter into such an agreement without the board's approval. The move is said to be a precursor to a federal lawsuit because they expect the appeal to be denied by the NCAA. Most of the team happens to be staying. What y'all think, man? What's going on? What's this going to turn into?
Yeah, this is more Penn State drama. Like you said, most of the team is staying, so I guess from that standpoint, it looks good for the football program. But in terms of all the legal maneuvering, I mean, it had to happen, but I think that Penn State should try to find a way to stay out of the news at this point. You know what I mean? Like, take your punishment and keep it moving. Like, just to, you know, try to get past this whole situation. But that's just my personal opinion.
I wonder how he's trying to kill time with this. Just put, like, coming out with something to kill time, to buy them a little bit more time. I don't know. I mean, if the sanctions are going to come down, they're going to come down. But I'm like, they're saying that Erickson didn't have the authority to do it. He just was like, he just took and said, all right, we'll take it, I guess, without consulting with everybody in the board and so forth. But all this extra stuff, man, it's just, I don't know. Like, I just wanted to go to sleep, go to bed, like, take their penalty on the chin and just come back up 10 years. We holler at y'all in 10 years.
Take their 12 lashes, bite down on the stick, and be quiet.
Exactly.
Kill Dr. Bayon as an educator. This is where education and administration and athletics meet. What are your thoughts?
Man, this whole situation has just been so ugly and drawn out. You know, credit to the players for staying. You know, some of them still can make the league by staying. You knew that the type of appeal was going to come, especially with vacating the wins. So, you know, I just kind of wish that it all goes away and they get back to playing football. And Jerry Sandusky serves his time and all the people that need to be held culpable that allowed Sandusky to do what he was able to do, you know, can be brought to justice.
I think you guys know my position on all of this is, you know, it's so – the whole thing is so ugly, man, and I just feel like there are now people that are being made to suffer that shouldn't, that aren't guilty of anything at all. However, Jimmy brings up a very valid point in some of our previous discussions, which is, you know, the university and there's a culture that's pervasive around State College and a lot of these major universities where the athletics, specifically football, basketball, and sometimes some other sports, come in front of and are made larger than the institution and academics. And so some of this punishment, you know, it's while it's tied to Sandusky's indiscretions, it's still tied to putting them back in their place. And so I think that, you know, that's a part of all of this. I also believe that because there's no precedent ever for something like this, Penn State is going to continue to fight. They have no choice but to. It's their bottom line as an institution of higher education really is a business and to make money. So they have to protect that bottom line, and it wouldn't make sense not to fight.
Yeah, well, Austin, real quick. Remember I told you I was arguing with Eric Cross and Brent about the whole Iggy thing. Eric Cross actually is on our Digital Extreme Technologies hotline. He called in to say something. We got a couple calls, so let's get Eric on first and see
Absolutely.
What he has to say. Eric, what's going on,
cuz?
What's up, Eric?
I heard you was on here slandering my to heck with Iggy comments, so I want to defend myself.
Listen, man, we know that you're a battered Sixers fan who hates everything about Iggy, man, but to call him a bum is kind of crazy.
He's trash truck juice.
No, Royal Ivy is trash truck juice. Iggy got game. He may not be a top five player. He may not be a number one option, but he's not a bum, though. Like,
what is your
call
basis, E. Krause, what is your basis for that statement? Meaning, what was your expectation? What's your expectation?
I'll give you my expectation. Do I think everything is his fault? No, it's not his fault per se. But this man come out with the swagger of I'm taking over the team. Give me the $83 million. Put my face on the magazines. Put my face on the building and build a team around me. at least let me see some improvement in your game. He has the same game now that he had coming out of Arizona. He's saying he's a lockdown defender. No, he's not a lockdown defender. He just don't mind playing defense. Tell me when the last time he shut down Kobe. Tell me when the last time he shut down even somebody like Joe Johnson. He doesn't shut anybody down. Danny Granger lights him up every time they play.
Oh,
he has
listen,
no
man.
Jump shot. He has no go-to move in the fourth quarter. He can't even hit free throws now in the fourth quarter.
Real quick. You brought up Danny Granger. Danny Granger is the guy who got cut from the Olympic team for Iggy. Did you know that? I'm talking about even back in 2010, Danny Granger got cut because Iggy was a better all-around player. So, the thing about it is, I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying Iggy is great, but to call him a bum to me is crazy. When I think of bums in the NBA, I think of Royal Ivy, guys that can't even get in the game. He's not a
Let me ask y'all this question, because when I think of Iguodala and I rack my brain for who to compare him to, and Joe Johnson comes up because he's kind of a second-tier star and should be a second option, but I don't think offensively that they're equivalent. So Gerald Wallace comes to mind. I think Iguodala and Gerald Wallace do the same things. Iggy's probably a little smaller and a little quicker to play, you know, the two. But they're the same. They're the same player. I can't call Gerald Wallace a bum, though he
That's
doesn't
what I'm
have.
I just can't call him a bum. And I think that
I'm calling him a bum. I'm calling him a bum on the strength of he is supposed to be the number one face of the franchise, build the team around me. If he came in,
I never had that.
But that's what they gave it to him. They said he's the next AI. They put his name on the program.
You're holding him accountable for the team's marketing. Is basically what you're doing.
Yeah, like how? That's not really his fault, though, E.
I think that's true with Iguodala, too, because, like, when I look at his game, it is kind of the same game that he had at Arizona. Like, with him offensively, he's out of control a lot. So his mid-range game pretty much doesn't exist. So if he's not finishing, if he gets the ball on the wing, there's no real pull-up, there's no gather yourself and go up for a mid-range jumper. Not that everybody has to have that, but that is an effective shot. If you can't always get to the – because to me, I feel like offensively he's out of control a lot. But I think
he's trying
to do too much. Yeah, he's trying to do too much, and he doesn't – that's not his skill set, and that's not his game. So I think
should he turn the money down? I mean, what do y'all think?
I can't blame him for taking the money.
Yeah, I'm not.
But if you're going to take the money, then you play up to the money.
Here's my thing. With all your criticism of Iggy, would you call him a bum, though?
I couldn't say he's a bum. I just think he's ill placed. Like he's in a position that he shouldn't be in right now. Like
he's just badly, and I think that's
general management. Honestly,
he should be higher than where he's at.
Anybody will take the money as a scorer.
He should be your third option.
Right.
He should
exactly.
be your third option.
I think he can play defense. I don't know about
option.
Shutting down people. But he has good lateral movement. He's athletic, and he puts forth the effort.
Right, he's
defense.
Willing to play defense.
He's
that doesn't make
play.
Him
he's
a good
willing.
Defender.
I think he's a good defender.
When the 3-minute mark hit in Game 6 against the Celtics, and it was the Pierce and Garnett fouled out, they should say, Iggy, go shut down Rondo. Right? That's what Kobe does. That's what LeBron does. That's what these best defenders do. They say, give me the best player on the other team.
Kobe and LeBron, who are like two of the top two players in the world.
Roger Bell said, I'll stick Kobe.
Would you take Roger Bell over Iggy? Let's be real.
For defense, yeah. If you want to break down the game,
overall,
Iggy is a better player. But if we want to break down each part of Iggy's game, they say he's a great defender. Bruce Bowen was a great defender. Roger Bell played some great defense. Iggy just gets in the way more than other people will.
But those players that you name is still got cooked, though. Like, for instance, when you said, Kobe still would give Bruce Bowen work, though. It was just harder for him.
Iggy don't make it harder for nobody else.
Real quick, Eric's defense.
You
gotta
give
yourself credit. Hey, Iggy, Eric's
said Iggy's going to be making about 14 or 15 million this year, and he averaged 12 points last year. So his salary is higher than the points that he
averaged. His scoring average has went down 4 years in a row.
Because and actually he's playing better basketball because of it. Because he's not trying to force shots. He's a better all around.
We've got to his peak. We've reached his ceiling already.
No, but what I'm saying is, we have to agree to disagree. All I'm saying is, you're a battered Sixers fan, man. You want him to be something that he's not. That's my point. My point is this: Iggy's not a bum. Is he a top five player or even a top 10 player? No, but he's not a bum. Like, that's my only point is. To call him a bum is kind of crazy. I mean, we definitely got to move on. We appreciate you calling and defending yourself.
Oh, man. Good.
I was giving you the
good looking on the call, E. Krause.
Hey, thank y'all. I appreciate it. I listen to you all the time. Jimmy, I get on you in the book. I appreciate y'all. I'm going to be calling in every week.
No doubt.
I wish a lot of love with y'all and profit.
I'm surprised you ain't even cutting the side off, man. But anyway, shout out to you, E.
What'd you say? I didn't hear you. I'm breaking up.
All right, y'all.
Peace.
Hold on, real quick, before we move on, we got one more caller on the line. Our lines are blowing up. Let's see what the homie Wallace Wade got to say from our Facebook page as well. What's up, Wallace?
What's going on, folks?
Wally, what's good, Wally?
Hopefully I see all y'all down at the Howard Morehouse game. That's the first thing off my mind right now. Second thing, Iggy, he's not great, but you can't blame him for what the GM did. He can't do that. Mm. You know, GM giving him the money, he's not that great. He did what he could do. So,
that's
all I got to say about that. But this Penn State thing.
When you following in the steps of an icon.
No AI man love.
It's hard to live up to that. Wow.
I don't like Iggy, but I'm not mad at him for making the money he made. He's just not that type of player.
You want to say something about Penn State, though?
Oh, yeah. Everybody know that the NCAA is in trouble on this one. Really. Mm. Because, one, the bylaws don't say they can do what they did, and the president, he had no right to not go to the Board of Trustees. The president is just like, he ain't like the president of the United States. You still got to go through everybody before you get anything done. So that's what that lawsuit is about. And they're going to win. I didn't do the research and everything. They're going to win.
And by the way, for those who don't know, Wallace Wade is an attorney at law, so he knows what he's talking about.
Wallace is our legal expert, and I can attest to the fact over the last month, this brother has been arguing this case heavy on War Room, facebook.com/War Room Sports. He's been arguing it heavy. And if y'all get in trouble and y'all need some legal advice, hit up my man Wally.
Wally, go ahead.
Tell us what's up, man.
I mean, just basically, just not even what the NCAA did. Every president, it's spoken for by the board. You got to go to the board for everything, whether you want money, you want to do this, you want to do that. So for him to do a side deal with the NCAA, can't do that. You can't, and the board has every right. Like, right now, he could get sued because he has a fiduciary duty to the school, period.
Right.
So he can't make decisions where it harms the school. If the NCAA wanted to give him a 4-year death penalty, let him do it. And then that'll be appealed because it's never been done before. So, but you can't just go ahead and say, well, if they're going to give us this, we'll take this, but I'm not going to tell the board about it. It just can't roll like that. That's just common sense. You don't have to be a lawyer or anything. You know, if you know administration, it can't go like that.
Yeah.
Everybody has to write off.
Got you.
Yeah, basically, he didn't follow procedures. Basically, it boils down to him not following procedures.
That's it.
Good looking now, Wallace.
NCAA, they need to go ahead and take the appeal because if they go to court with this, they may lose a whole lot of power that they didn't want to lose.
No doubt. But hey, Wiles, before we let you go though, what states do you practice in?
I'm in New Jersey and I'm in Florida.
Okay, New Jersey and Florida. So we're gonna send you some business. If any of our callers need any legal representation in New Jersey or Florida, we look out for you, good brother.
Oh, definitely. I'm definitely trying to make that symposium. You know, I gotta work out some things, but I'm trying to make it down.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, thanks for the call.
No more Morehouse, more Howard. more hours.
You wrong over it. You wrong over it.
We'll holler at you.
All right, take it easy.
All right, good brothers. Your man, Jimmy, your man, Pretty Girl Swirl, I mean Floyd Money Mayweather, was released from prison this morning. Well, it wasn't this morning, but it was a couple of days ago, after doing 2 months of his three-month bid. Now, y'all can remember a little while back he was girling about the food and about the space of the cell, and his hair was turning gray, and he was losing weight, and he was emaciated, and he was getting jaundice. Reports say he said nothing to the media when he rolled out. He just hopped in the blue Bentley with several friends inside, including his friend rapper 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson, and they drove off.
Yo,
go
I
ahead,
have no
PJ. PJ, what happened, man? What's up with your man?
I mean, you know, that's what he didn't know what he was getting himself into. He got into jail. It's surreal in jail. Like all that, the Mayweather mansion and the money team, they couldn't accompany him in that cell. So it got real for him, and he probably never was confined. He was, you know, institutionalized. So he wasn't, and that's why you say when he was girling and he wasn't eating. I'm sure his. I mean. You know what I'm saying? He probably was eating, you know what I'm saying, cold cuts, PB&J
eating cheese sandwiches down for the weekend,
you know what I mean?
Locked up with white boys.
You know what I'm saying? And Egan's, exactly. So he wasn't used to it, but, you know, I'm curious to see what happens now. That's my question. What does he do now? He's 35.
Continue
only thing everybody
to
wants
duck.
To see is him and Pacquiao.
Continue
well,
to duck.
I mean, I don't know. And that's a whole other argument. I still don't understand why him and Pacquiao can't do this, because I still think he would really beat Pacquiao.
It's all about TNT promotions now, man. There's really nothing to say about this story, man, because we behind anyway, but all I want to say is, Austin, you said he was girling. I haven't heard no one use that term in so long. Like, he was girling.
Girling, yeah.
Media.
Take it back to 90.
Listen, man, check out the website, warroomsports.com. To call in and speak, as you heard, you know, some of our listeners calling in, giving us some love and dropping some knowledge, you want to dial in on the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. That's like raising your hand. And if you're already listening to the phone, just press 1. And we'll rap to you.
Holla.
Hey,
real quick,
Gil, talk to us about the NFL, brother.
Hold up, Jimmy, you had something to say?
No, I was just saying real quick, let's go through what's going on in the NFL before we get into these Olympics. Let's talk about a couple stories in the NFL.
All right, here we go. NFL. Garrett Reed, son of Philadelphia Eagles head coach Andy Reed, was found dead in his room at the team's training camp in Lehigh, Pennsylvania. PJ, what do you have to say about this story?
It's just tragic, man. It's tough. I ain't gonna front the news. The first I heard of it was Jimmy early, like Sunday morning via text, and I was like, damn. And the bad part
early
about it is that
is
that like you could see that Andy was trying to keep the boys around him. You know, he had him working in the strength with the strength team at up at Lehigh to you know keep an eye on him. Apparently, he had been doing better, but I guess when you've had that type of battle with narcotics or whatever it was. And you do relapse and get back into something. Or I don't know if he relapsed or maybe he was, like, you know, like doing a little bit, you know, building up to this. I don't know. But
we're speculating now, y'all. We're not reporting.
Yeah.
We're not reporting.
I guess, see, that's what happened. We're not reporting. I mean, it's speculation, especially based on Andy's comments saying that he lost his battle. And all we knew of that he was battling was the drug addiction. But it could have been something
abuse,
else.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just sad. I mean, like, you know, for a parent to have to bury their child, I mean, you know, I hope out of this that, you know, one, you know, it just brings to the light the danger of drug addiction. And I hope that as an Eagles fan that this helps rally the team, you know.
Man, that'd be awesome.
Wow. As a father of children, I just can't fathom, I can't imagine, I can't understand what Coach Reed is going through. I extend my condolences, my prayers, my sympathies to him and his family. This is like so much bigger and so much more important than football. You know, that's just all I can really say. You know, I can't imagine that, man. I can't imagine it.
I can't understand it, and I'm saddened by it.
Man, look, all I have to say is, like, you know, rest in peace, and, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with Andy Reid. It's a bad situation, but, you know, drug addiction is something that we all deal with, whether people want to admit it or not. There's somebody in everybody's family.
In every family.
Every family.
Every family, cuz.
It's, you know,
PJ's cousin. Let's get to PJ's cousin.
Yeah.
All right,
yo,
all right,
I'm about to get league pass. I'm about to get league pass just so I can watch Seattle games.
Get your popcorn ready.
All right, speaking of T.O., that's our next topic. T.O. is back. Who will have a better season, T.O., Chad Johnson, or Randy, not Santana?
And don't none of them dudes have a quarterback.
So basically, T.O. is back, and we want to see who you guys think between all the old heads. That's Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Ocho Cinco, T.O. or Randy Moss. Let us know who you think is going to have the best season. But real quick, let's go around this table. Who do you think, P.J., do we even have to ask you?
You don't got to ask me, because I'm going to tell you, my man been out for a year. He slept, but he hungry, he dead broke. They slept on him. He out there, you know, taking pictures and sending his naked body to girls that he don't know. He just want to play football. And he gave him an opportunity. He's a rumbler. He's a fighter. He's crazy, but he got something to prove, man. He's going to go do his thing.
So basically, we don't have to ask PJ now. B. Austin, who would you pick? You don't have to take the time and give us your thoughts, but who would you pick to have the best season this year?
Come on, Austin. You know who's running today.
I want to say him, man. I want to say him, but the Niners, man, the squad, that defense is going to get the ball back more often and give Randy more shots. I'm going to go with number 84.
All right, we got one for Randy Moss. We got one for T.O. Doc Bay.
Looking at the receiving core situation in Seattle and the hunger and work ethic of T.O., who's still running a 4-4, I got to go with T.O. because he playing for them kids and that child support and, you know, everything. So
hold on now, Kill. Randy ran a 4-3-4. So don't
true.
Get it twisted.
True. But he's not going to work
did?
As hard.
You know what I mean? Hold up, this offseason he did?
Yeah, he ran a 4-3-4. Yeah.
Who holding the clock for these dudes, man? Because, come on, these jokers is over 36.
These old jokers can't be running that fast, man.
T.O. 38, man. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, man. So we got two for T.O. and we got one for Randy Moss.
Just two, baby.
The thing about it is, Randy Moss also has something to prove. You know what I'm saying? And I think that the Niners will be – that's a tough one right there, man. I think basically we can just throw Chad Johnson out of it because I don't know who's going to be
passing.
He got David Garrard throwing the ball to him, and I don't trust black men that don't rock mustaches.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Yo, Jimmy, David Garrard has sworn on a Bible never to throw the ball further than 10 yards downfield, too.
Yo, I'm gonna go with Austin's logic because I definitely think the Niners are a better team overall. I think he'll have more opportunities, and I think that they're going to play well coming into the season after that run they had last year. Willie G just checked in. He said he's also taking Randy Moss. So, you know, people are checking in with us. Giving
see,
us their, you know.
See, the other thing we're not thinking about is Francis
M.H.
Francis M.H. requires an eight-man front. You can't disrespect him and not leave eight in the box. And you can't disrespect Randy and not double that up. So
but we know that Alex Smith will close his eyes and throw deep balls.
We got somebody else chimed in. We got another chime in, a homie Glenn. He's actually saying T.O. He said Alex Smith doesn't have the downfield arm to make Moss effective the way Moss
is. That's what I was about trying to say. And Randy Moss, if he don't get enough passes, now T.O. will cry, B-I-T-C-H, and moan. They both will. But Randy will quit while he do it. Randy will stop playing. My man will leave. He go home third quarter. He go get in his truck and mount.
I guess nobody at this point has picked Chad Johnson, but everybody checked in. You know, we going with T.O. and Randy Moss. So we'll see. We'll keep track of that all season. We'll have our T.O. and Randy Moss meter to see who's having a better season. But
yes, sir.
Other than that, Kill, anything else in NFL you want to bring up?
Yeah, we have our next story. We have Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks just started. And what are you guys' thoughts on episode one?
All I know is Chad made his presence known right away. He got the cooning. Soon they got a camera on him. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, man. PJ, you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. That's why I'm telling you. Chad's going to be doing his press conferences, man. My man's going to be doing He's going to do his expletives. He was cursing and didn't even need to curse. Like, he was over-cursing. I'm like, Chad, stop. Man, you sound crazy. Yeah, you over-cursing.
Oh, my God, yo. Reggie Bush going to have the Snow Bunnies on lock.
Yeah, I'm ready to see what Reggie Bush going to be pulling in.
Matt Moore is going to get the starting job over David Garrard. The black protectionists are going to go crazy. what else?
What do you think Tannehill going to do, though?
Huh?
I mean, that's all I can say is, I mean, the show is what it is. It's a good show. Whoever that dude is that does the 24/7s and the Hard Knocks, like, dude's voice and all that, no pause, everything. But he makes everything interesting, though. Doesn't
he makes it dramatic, like, don't he? Yeah.
That's his new career. All right, now let me move on to the next topic. Actually, I'm just going to mention this. We don't have to comment on it. Just shout out to females everywhere. A woman, Shannon Easton, will make sports her story instead of history on Thursday night by being the first woman to ever be a part of an NFL officiating crew in the preseason game between the Green Bay Packers and San Diego Chargers. So shout out to women and the women's movement and breaking into the NFL. And our next story we have
first step towards flag football.
Warren Sapp filed for bankruptcy back in April and was ordered to auction off his collection of Nike size 15 Air Jordans. He has 215 pair, and the current bid on eBay as of Wednesday is $16,600. What are your guys' thoughts on this?
If you count that up and divide that down, he's getting gypped. They fire selling his Jordans.
How is he bankrupt? Because of the child support? Like, I don't even understand how he got broke like that.
Because
it must be the child support. I mean, you know, the screwing he got ain't worth the screwing he getting now.
Yeah, that's crazy. But hey, at least he's getting some check back for it, hopefully, because you know, I'm sure he got a lot of those free by, you know, working with Mike and, you know, being a Nike sponsor and all of that. All right.
Assets, and they make you start selling off clothes, though, yo.
Yeah, that's wild. All right. Now, our last story we have in the NFL is Curtis Martin, NFL running back, his Hall of Fame speech. Any thoughts on that, fellas?
Man, that joke was crazy.
Riveting.
I felt bad for his mom because he was like, you know, he was telling the truth. He was talking about the abuse she suffered from his father. I was like, yo. And then they put the camera on her face. I couldn't hardly watch that job.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm going to say this. I had the opportunity to meet my favorite Martin about 3, maybe 4 years ago in D.C. And he's just not what you would picture or think of when you think of an NFL running back. He's highly articulate. He's always well-dressed. Everything is tailored. Nothing is gaudy. Just an all-around – I mean, if you see him, you'd think he was a banker or an attorney.
Yeah.
You know, so that a part of that is a testament to who he is, you know, as a man and developing himself. I feel bad, you know, just knowing – it's amazing that he was able to do something that he did not like for so many years and be that great at it. Essentially, what would he have done if he was passionate about the game and really loved the game?
Yeah, how about that? I didn't even think about it that way.
He was one of the best. He has some of the best feet in the hole that I've ever seen in terms of his cuts, his vision.
Yeah.
He was amazing with that. Like, Curtis Martin would make so much out of nothing, and it wasn't a lot of herky-jerky movements. It was smooth. But he had great vision, and he was a great cutback runner. Excellent runner.
And he also proved my point that Bill Parcells is a cult leader, because anybody who's ever played for Parcells, yo, they will, like, die for that dude to this day. So I don't know what kind of Kool-Aid Bill Parcells serves at training camp, yo.
He's on his Manson, John.
No doubt. Listen, though, man. It's time to get into the Olympics. You know what I'm saying? The Olympics are definitely going on. We want to hear everybody's talk about the Olympics.
Shout out to Devin McMillan.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to play that real quick. Anyway, Devin is over in London. We're waiting for Dev. Dev should call in any minute now to give us an update what's going on over there in terms of the Olympic Village. But real quick, the first couple stories I want to start with are epic failures. One is in diving. Diver Steven Seck, he finished dead last in the preliminary round of the men's 3M springboard. Did you guys see this dive? The guy dove and actually fell on his back.
He did a belly. He did a back flop.
Yo,
did you realize how bad that sting?
Yo, yeah, he was in so much pain. But yeah, if you guys can go, people listen, you can Google it. His name is it's Steephan, last name Feck, Feck, and put Steven Feck dive. Like you'll see it, it's all over the internet. You landed on
Mike,
his...
were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? You broke
my back is broken.
What a vertebrae or what portion?
Final.
Yo,
final.
Dude landed on his back, man. Like, have any of you guys ever tried to dive into a pool and land on your back?
Yo,
I've landed, I've belly flopped, I've back flopped, I've side flopped, yo.
Yo,
and
dog, a belly flop off the edge of the pool will sting
will
the
hurt.
Trash out of you. That
right.
Feel like you got electrocuted. My man
so
was like, what, 15, 20 feet?
Might have been
yeah.
35, brother.
Yo, all I'm saying is that's
oh, yeah,
very
3 meter. Yeah, it's 3 meter.
Yeah, 3 meters.
Oh, 15 feet.
10 feet.
Yeah.
Doc Beck, did you see this dive, or have you ever did this
before? No, I never saw it, and no, I didn't think it was possible to land on your back unless you're trying to complete a flip, and then you just can't
no,
do
hold
it.
Up,
like,
last thing about this story is the judges straight gave him a score of zero, all of them.
But hold on, did he give it an excuse? Like, what happened? How did he get to that?
Yeah.
Like, where did it go wrong?
He was in too much pain to do an interview, yo. But his score was he got a total score of zero.
My man got a goose egg.
The next epic fail was a German weightlifter, Matthias Steiner. I'm not related to Scott Steiner, I don't think. But anyway, he dropped 432 pounds on his head.
I saw that. I saw this. I saw
and it. He lived to talk
and,
about it, yo. But
and he got right back up and waved to the crowd and was like, I'm okay. I'm okay.
I said, yo, what are these Germans doing? My man dropped 432 pounds on his head.
Yeah, I saw that too. I was like, yo, I don't know what. My man got to have had a concussion, at the least a concussion. But, yo, those power lifters, those are some diesel dudes, man. Them the dudes that you hope you don't get into road rage with. Because they might come and just tear your door off your car and then. You know what I mean? Suplex you. But you're trying to tell them yet. But it's crazy. That was crazy.
Those are the two epic fails of this past week. Because there's been a lot of fails in the Olympics. Like, you know, we love the great competition, but there's also some comedy in it. Speaking of comedy, Vanessa Bryant, after those pictures of Kobe leaked, she made her way right over to London, yo, to find out what's going on with Bean, man. And all I got to say about this story is whoever's listening from Team USA, do not send Kobe to Brazil. Please don't.
Whoa.
Yo, man.
Yeah.
Y'all see how she made her way right over there, yo?
Yo, she didn't even take a plane. She ran. She just ran. She's a straight ran. Which proves to me that she still has some love in her heart for Bean, or she believes that his career will be much more successful after basketball. And when she divorces him in 10 years from now, it'll
right.
be $300 million instead of $107. Well, it'll be $75.
Right. She's
so
trying to reinvest.
She's
trying
reinvest.
To reinvest.
She's doubling down.
Fun.
She's doubling down. Right.
Yeah. That's
so basically, what y'all saying is that she talked to Michael Jordan's ex-wife, and she said, "Nah, get back in, because then you can get even more." And also, I think she went over there because maybe she was fearful of the gluteal maximal abilities of Serena Williams, so
ooh.
She felt threatened.
In Olympic Village, they would have met up
there
in Olympic
picture,
Village for all the athletes.
There was a picture, and it is on the page, facebook.com/warroomsports, and Kobe and that beautiful specimen are hugged up, kind of close. Now it doesn't kind of look like a friend hug or a brotherly, sisterly type hug, but.
Yo.
People came on the page talking about how nice they look together.
Oh, real quick, though. I just want to say that Doc Bay said that she has gluteal maximal abilities.
That's impressive. I'm trying to meet his sister with that.
With that being said, the brother Dev is calling in from London right now, so we're going to get him on the line. What's up, man?
Yo.
Hey.
What's going on?
Yo.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Live from London.
I'm on a crowded train right now calling in. I hope y'all can hear me and not too much background noise. But that's the only way to get around in this piece.
Are you coming from the Olympic venue?
Good day, mate.
Yeah, I'm coming from the gold medal. Well, I can't. I got to be respectful. The gold medal football game between the U.S. women and the Japanese women, who a lot of them didn't really look like women.
Yeah, football and they have football in Japan. What type of pads? Who is quarterback?
They have some people who look like quarterbacks. Just a little short, Pacquiao looking quarterbacks. But
Dad, the main question we got from like a lot of our fans of you being out there is, what them bunnies looking like?
No, you know what? Actually, the British bunnies aren't too bad, man. You know, they talk funny, but they're not actually too bad.
Yeah.
But no, as far as really, like, overall, the Olympics out here, I mean, I don't have a basis of comparison, but it seems like it's been pretty well done. They said they had, like, 7 million extra people in the city, and their train systems have been holding it down.
Wow.
They have like, a bunch of overground trains, and then they have the tube, the underground subway joint, and it's probably, close with New York. It's probably one of the more extensive subway lines that I've ever seen. But, so, you know, trains haven't been too bad.
Are you taking in any more events while you're there?
No, actually, because I planned on coming back Saturday, I might actually come home early tomorrow. Still trying to get that together. But today I saw the, before the gold medal soccer game, I saw the American women basketball team. They had a little trouble early with Australia, but they ended up pulling that out by double digits. I mean, that was like a back-to-back event. That game was over. I had to jump on the tube and go out to Wembley Stadium and probably made it there to my seat like 5 minutes after kickoff. Actually missed the first goal. Score ended up being 2-1 U.S.
But
yeah, that was my first ever gold medal ceremony in person. And, you know, it's pretty surreal. You see a lot of people walking around. Like, I was in the mall the other day. You see a whole bunch of Olympians. Nobody that we really know, but everybody wears their, you know, their sweatsuits trying to represent stuff like that. Saw a couple of people today, though. I met Craig Sager. He didn't have on anything crazy. He just had on a regular old red shirt, some khakis. David Aldridge, yeah, boy, Drew Holiday was at the gold medal game. And right after I met Drew Holiday, I talked to the guards, and they said Kobe Bryant just walked by. I didn't ask him if Vanessa was with him. I heard your conversation. She probably was right behind him. Like, you're not going away without me.
He's in the big
yeah, I mean, pretty good experience. You know,
were you able to slide Shelly-Ann Frazier my email address?
I sent that through somebody else, so you know, hopefully she get that request, get that address, and shoot you a, you know, an email.
And if my wife is listening, that's just for the show, dear. That's just for the show.
Hey, yo, Dad, I got one more question for you in terms of countries representing out there in terms of like fans.
Most definitely Canada. You see Canadians everywhere. I didn't know they had that much pride up there because I don't really see why. But that was a joke.
But their medal game is weak, though.
Yeah, it pretty much is. So, you know, they look like they come out for the fun. I was at a party the other night, and it was packed full of Canadian Olympians, and, you know, it was funny.
Did you have a beer, eh?
Because they didn't really know that they couldn't dance. And it was a sight to see. It was a sight to see. But
shout out to
it's definitely been a good time. What'd you say, PJ?
Yeah, speaking of Canada, shout out to our War Room family and blogger and fitness model pro Maggie Mangiel, my brother Paul.
Oh yeah.
They're Canadian, they're in Toronto. And tell the Canadians to get their medal game up, Maggie.
Shout out to Maggie.
Yeah, pro. Yeah. Shout out to Maggie. But it's been a great experience, man. I had something else to say, but I keep forgetting because all these people getting up on this train.
Well, one last question, Dev. Randy Moss, T.O., or Chad Johnson, who's going to have a better season?
I still maintain that Chad got a chance of getting cut. I'm going to go ahead and say Randy Moss. I'm going to say Randy Moss just because T.O., they're still saying that they brought him in as a backup. I mean, he'll probably take the starting job pretty quickly, pretty easily, but they're saying that he's coming in as a backup, so I'm going to go with Randy Moss for now. But all three of them got suspect quarterbacks thrown to them, so it's going to be a hell of a time for all of them. Oh, what I was going to ask you guys, did you guys see the race, the 200-meter tonight?
No, it didn't come on yet.
It's not on yet. I know the deal. Don't spoil it.
I know the deal, too. I see EST and they spoiled it.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't see nothing. I forgot that they keep showing stuff on delay. That's the one interesting thing, though. Like, being out here, I'm pretty sure you guys know way more about the Olympics than I do because you spend a lot of time walking around and being on trains trying to get to different venues and different places. So, like, I really, until I go inside late at night and try to watch a recap, I have no idea what's going on, you know, other than the things that I've been to. So,
let me tell you,
it's hard to keep up because the venues are so far apart.
Jamaica is what's going on in track.
Yo, US
had a good day yesterday, right?
Yeah, they did.
They're going to get murdered in that 4x1, though.
We got to cut Austin off. He's about to get himself in trouble, man. He's going to need to call Ryan Ray representation to keep talking, man.
Sleeping on the couch tonight.
Anyway, Dad, man, go enjoy yourself, homie, while you out there.
All right, no doubt. I have no idea how many minutes left on this phone, so, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do that, and I will see you brothers when I get back.
All right, bro.
All right, Dad.
Yeah, man, that's Dev calling in. He's live. He's over there in London. He said, you know, the bunnies are looking good. Anyway, and Maggie's saying, shout out to Canada. Maggie's representing Canada in our chat room. No disrespect. We love Canadians. We love Canadians. It's just that they repping out there strong and they medal game week. Anyway.
Canada had that one nice diver. The black chick, she was nice.
In the words of Brother Bay, she was gluteal maximal gifted. You know, gluteal maximally.
Yeah, she's gluteal maximally gifted. Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
You all swollen, roused about your colon.
What? Yo, speaking of the pool, man, Michael Phelps, he says that he's done. You know, he said he's not Brett Favre no more. He ain't coming back or nothing. So what do you guys think? Do you really believe that he's done or just, you know?
I think he's going to join Snoop Lion's band. That's what I think.
Yo, he might. Yo, I see him doing something like that, like being in a band or something, coming out with an album. He probably just wanted. He's been swimming since he was like 4 probably. So, you know, it's probably a situation where he wants to just do something else. Like he said, he's tired of waking up in the morning to get in a cold pool at 5 o'clock in the morning every day and, you know, do laps and working out. I don't know.
Hey, PJ, I bet you he spent like a year in Amsterdam just smoking all day for about two years. He's going to spend 2 years to get it all out of his system.
Smoking that legal ganja over there. They say that over there you can get weed in coffee shops. Like, you can get weed with your coffee.
Will he be in Brazil, yes or no?
I mean, only thing I can see is Lochte start getting way too much shine, and he's just like, nah, Lochte is not this good. I just got to come in and, like, shut it down. I don't know. I say no. He'll be 31. I say no.
I think the level that it takes that you have to keep your body at, I don't think he can take off a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then decide he wants to be an Olympian. He may make the team, but I don't think he would be competitive because if you saw some of the events that he was winning, it wasn't wide margins. He's just dominant because he wins them all, but it's not by wide margins. So I think he's done. I think he's accomplished everything that he set out to.
Didn't he take off a couple years this time, though? Didn't they say he took off like 2 years and then got into it late?
That was just him smoking.
That was just him.
he didn't cut his smoking off early.
I think he's done. I think he's tired and he's done.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think he'll get the itch. Like PJ said, he's been doing this since 4 years old, so he's going to want to compete at the highest level again. But from the way he's talking, I don't think, like Brad said, if he stops training the way he needs to, I think he's done. At least for right now, he's definitely done. With that being said, they have a new hero in the world of swimming, which is Missy Franklin. Did you guys see her, like, dominate the backstroke in all her other events?
Flipper. I dominate this. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. She's like, she's a, you know, a woman child.
She's in high school, yo.
Yeah, she's still in high school. And it's funny because did you hear they were saying that she actually had to turn down some big contracts, well, possible contracts, so that she could go back to high school. And some lucrative deals or something that she turned down because she wanted to go back to school. I'm like, man.
Yeah. And by the way,
she could homeschool or get her GED and still take those contracts. You know what I mean?
Exactly. She only had one year left.
Maggie checked in and said that the diver you were talking about, her name is Jennifer Abel or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer. Okay.
Maggie, I need that, Maggie. You know.
Hey, yo, Austin, yo, dog. Yo, Sis, you're going to have to sleep on the air mattress tonight, man.
I'm not talking about that, man. For those who don't know, War Room Sports on our Facebook page, we've started a new piece to it. It's called Athletic Excellence, and we're celebrating feminine corporeality with athletes. So, you know, we're celebrating.
Yeah,
like
so we need her to add to the collection. Yeah, that's
I like how you're talking to it up, man. Listen to this story right here. South African gold medalist Cameron Vandenberg admitted to taking extra underwater kicks during his world record performance in 100-meter breaststroke at the Olympics, an illegal move that would have earned him a disqualification if the judges had caught him. Swimmers are allowed one underwater dolphin kick during their underwater breaststroke, but the replay showed he took three on his start. His thing is this. He says if you're not doing it, you're falling behind.
Everybody does.
He said it's not oblivious, shall we say, to the moral thing to do, but, you know, he's not willing to sacrifice his personal performance in 4 years of hard work for someone that's willing to do it and get away with it. So basically he says, I did it because everybody does it. What's your thoughts on this, him admitting to cheating? First off, there's too many rules of swimming. I didn't know anything about, like, just certain kicks and things you can't do underwater. Like,
yeah, I did. When you come off of the wall, you're only allowed one kick and one stroke pause underneath the water, and then you have to break the water and back into the stroke, whatever the race-type stroke is.
When you turn on the wall,
a lot of times when you're pushing off, you get the benefit of not only your stroke, but you've also kicked off. So most folks stay underwater longer, just like he does, than they're supposed to, and they're not penalized. The judges are obviously aware of that practice because it's very rare that anyone's penalized because everybody does it.
Now, but they all do that. On the turnaround,
but you only allow one. You're only allowed one, and everybody takes between two and four. I'd say everybody does between two of them.
Right.
So basically, that extra kick is the equivalent to NBA or college basketball player using his off arm to push off to create space for a shot. Something that the refs see, but they really never call.
If they called it, Sam Cassell would have been out of the league.
Shout out to Jordan Bryan Russell.
So you guys have no problem with him admitting to cheating after he won his medal, like, you know, because I guess if everybody does it, it's okay.
I'm not gonna say that everybody does it. I mean, that man has to deal with his conscience. And I feel as though, I don't know, you gotta have a level. I look at the creation of a level playing field, because that's what's really fair. I watched an interesting interview with American sprinter Kelly. She got caught up in the Balco investigation, and what she was saying, at the end of the interview, James Brown did it. He asked her, well, do you feel as though you deserve those medals? And she said, absolutely. So he said, why? How could you say that after you cheated? She said, I wasn't the only one. Most people in the sport at that time were juicing. And sure enough, four women from her gold medal heat that came in consecutively behind her had all got rung up on steroid charges. So I say all that to say there was competitive balance. It wasn't like she really had a huge advantage over the field because everybody else was juicing.
No, I get what you're saying, but doesn't a line have to be drawn somewhere? Like, the excuse can't be everybody's doing it, so it's okay with me doing it. Like,
No, the excuse shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be that. Then the system needs to be corrected at an institutional level so that that can no longer occur. You can't allow it to slip in and then say you're making an example of one or two folks.
PJ, what's your opinion, PJ?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. If everybody is doing it, it's still wrong. It's just like it doesn't make it right just because everybody's doing it, especially when it comes to things like Valco and doping and stuff like that. So it's tough because, like, even they say in baseball, I mean, you don't want to fall behind because you're not doing it. But, again, it doesn't make it right. And if you get caught, you still have to get punished and take it on the chin because you did cheat willingly. You were just the one that got caught.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. If you're taking a risk, you know the risk.
Yeah, you know it.
If you get away with it, then you got away with it. But if you get caught, you can't bitch because you took the risk.
Right.
All right. Real quick. We got a couple of stories I want to get to before you wrap up. First question I have is, why did Serena beat the urine down Sharapova's leg like that?
like she was playing a dude. Like Serena was a dude. I think she can beat Federer.
I'm not gonna comment on that. But I want to know what about her crip walking after the window? What's up with that?
Great question. And I've had this debate also with some of our listeners and fans. Shout out to y'all on Facebook. My issue, I didn't have a big issue with it. I grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We didn't have Bloods and Crips. We did have a lot of street violence. And so anything that promotes that violent lifestyle, I can understand how people would be offended. But also looking at Serena and who she is and her life, though she grew up in South Central, she grew up in a sheltered, boxed-in environment. She probably had no inkling in her mind what crip walking is really tied to. I don't think she was even thinking about, sets and banging. And she was just doing something that has become common through the years, because to be honest with you, crip walking looks cool. It looks cool.
Yeah, it's a common thing.
I remember going to Howard University, all the little dudes from out west and down south were crip walking in the club. None of them was gangbangers.
Crip walking is banging. Yeah, it's a commercial dance. It's not like it's some exclusive secret society dance that she did that no other gangs know about. I mean, that only the gangs know about. It's a popular dance. Unfortunately, it derives from a gang.
Right.
But I think, like you said, I don't think she was doing it to say she and her blues. You know what I mean? She ain't trying to claim
it's like,
a set.
I find it hilarious that a gang in the first place has a dance. That just, the two things just don't match up with a gang having
exactly.
A dance. But anyway, Doc Bay, our in-house educator. A lot of kids look up to Serena. What was your thoughts on her, crip walking after her win?
Having been in institutions that had Crips and Bloods, or I guess you can say fake Crips and Bloods, because I don't think any of them are willing to take a bullet, kill somebody, or do time for their gang, it kind of promotes that, like, oh, wow, Serena, she's a Crip. So now I'm going to join a Crip. So you have some impressionable teenagers that would join after seeing that or say, I'm going to choose that side because of Serena.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing. That's
I feel that.
It,
I understand that. And that's a great perspective. But just looking at her from a conscientious standpoint, like if she in some point in her past was a part of that or was close to it and she did that knowingly, which we don't know, then I would have a problem with it. I really think that she was just having a little hood moment, little ghetto moment of celebration, and I'm not mad at it. I've had conversations with folks that did grow up in that environment that are staunchly anti-gang and anti-violence, and they were offended. And I could see their perspective because of what it represents to them. But I just shared with them, they have to open their eyes and minds and think that maybe this person doesn't share your experience, so they don't know the impact of their actions.
I mean, I get what you're saying, and it's like there is no right or wrong answer. It depends upon your perspective looking at it, you know what I mean? But another quick story real quick I want to bring up is Lolo Jones, who finished fourth. And, she was one of the favorites. She had a rough week, not only finishing fourth, but Dawn Harper and Kelly Wells kind of like went in on her in TV. New York Times wrote a piece about her, like, just basically disrespecting her, like saying that she's overhyped, overrated, and, you know.
I totally agree.
They won medals. They won medals, and they had stories, but you don't hear nothing about their stories. You only hear Lolo, and she didn't even medal. That's what they were saying.
I'm not going to knock her for the marketing she receives because she's, like, she's easy on the eye, and a lot of men want to put their paws on her. But,
they called her, the New York Times called her the Anna Kournikova of track, because it was like she hasn't won anything. She has won world championships, and she has, you know, she has won, just hasn't won an Olympic medal yet. She was almost crying in the interview. Like,
yo, she was crying.
I'm on Twitter heavy, but, yo, when she came in fourth, the slander that she got on Twitter, yo, was like, only person I ever seen get slandered like that was LeBron. That's how bad it was.
As a casual track follower, I am aware kind of what's going on in track, and I can say this. Dawn Harper has been beating Lolo Jones for 6 years. Dawn Harper is a gold medalist in the Olympics, a gold medalist at the World Championships, personal best is faster, consistently. And there are other women in the world that aren't part of USA track, but just in the Caribbean nations, even some in Europe, that are the equal or better of Lolo Jones. So I don't fault her, and this is the position that I kind of took. I don't fault her for being marketable, you know, and it's not her fault at all. She can sell things, so she got the accolades, undeservedly so, but it's not her fault. She took them, took the money. She's got great sponsorship deals. Dawn Harper is not a pretty child. To be real about it, and I dove really deep into this argument and discussion with some track enthusiasts and some casual fans who were saying, well, she was wrong to say this. Listen, Dawn Harper has a tremendous story. She went through a ton. Kelly Wells is a rape survivor and went to and ran track in the MEAC. Shout out to Hampton Institute, ran track in the MEAC and overcame all of that to be an Olympian. So they feel as though our stories have been overlooked for Lolo Jones. Now, where there may be a little bit of fault on their part is that's not Lolo's fault. You can't take a shot at her. That's not Lolo's fault. But we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know the type of – we don't know whether Lolo is a humble person or she's haughty.
Austin, hold on one second. Here's my point. Yeah. Like I said, I've never seen anyone get slandered the way she did. People were saying her problem is she's not giving up the yams. Like, they was going all in on her. What I found interesting was people were, like, disrespecting her, saying she's just a pretty girl and it's only this because she was pretty. And then, like, on the other hand, you see people commenting on Gabby Douglas and they're complaining about her hair. It's like, we can't win. If you're too pretty, that's an issue. If you're not what society considers to be pretty, they slander you. It's like, yo, we can't win.
That's a great point, Jimmy. And then you get into an issue that, you know, I don't know that we want to touch on, but it's the issue and the trauma within the black community, the colorism, the self-hate. You know, Lolo has Caucasian features. She's a light-skinned black woman. And there are a lot of black people that can't look in the mirror and really love themselves, don't necessarily find love in their moms because they're dark skin or dark skin is frowned upon. So they automatically associate themselves or are attracted to Lolo because of that. And don't think for a minute that corporations that put the dollars behind her in sponsorships aren't aware of that fact.
Don't get me wrong. Lolo is nice, but she's not that nice. Like, I mean, I think a lot of what people see in her is predicated on her complexion and her hair. But she's not. If you look at her face, she looks damn near close to a white girl. So, I mean, it's not like she's like some Halle Berry-ish, you know what I mean?
Right, but you have a lot of black people, PJ. That's where beauty starts. They start with the complexion and then go out to other. Just like with Gabby, and I felt really bad about that because Gabby is 16 years old. So essentially, she's a kid.
Too.
She's she's 8 years older than my daughter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at her like, oh man, wow. We have grown people that are nitpicking
at
African features or black features. Because of their issues with themselves and what their standard of beauty is, and projecting that off on an Olympian, someone who's there making
history. I completely agree with you, Brad. Because I'm like, go ahead, Jim. I completely agree with Brad, though. But what were you saying, Jim?
I said two things. PJ knows damn well he put them paws on her, but that's one. Second thing is,
they say I wouldn't do that, but.
But the second thing is this, though.
So a lot of them Jones, I put my paws on. But go ahead, Mom.
The second thing is, like, when you look at how Gabby was treated, it's sort of like you said, it's like you can't win. When I watched the kind of comments that were being made about Lolo, on the one hand, you know, and, you know, whether you think she's pretty or not, that's the perception. And then you look at, you know, Dawn Harper, Austin said she's just not a beautiful child. people were just different. It's like, yo, you can't win.
Here's my thing, and this is speculation on my part, but the allusions from Dawn Harper and Kelly Wells is that Lolo isn't necessarily the most humble of people, so she accepts these accolades and her position on the mountain, but now when she's facing adversity and the light gets bright and it shines on her and she comes up wanting, they're kind of like, well, you know. You took all of the accolades undeservedly, so.
I get that, too, because it's like their anger seemed to be beyond she's getting attention and we're not. It seems to be like that's what you get type thing. Like, she's really like a female dog behind closed doors. Like, that's the way she acts. That's the way they
Dawn Harper is the better hurdler, and it's not like this is a recent development. Kelly Wells just came on the scene. Dawn has been better than Lolo for half a decade, and no one even knows who Dawn Harper is if they're outside of track. Like, unless you follow track, you don't know who Dawn Harper is. Oh, the dark-skinned Jonah was on the team. Like, you don't know her. But she beats Lolo all the time.
Hey, shout out to Lolo because she did. Y'all remember she kicked the hurdle in 08? She found out she kicked the hurdle because her toe and her brain were not coming together in terms of her knowing that her foot was over the hurdle, so she kept kicking her hurdles. So she actually had to have spinal surgery a year ago to correct it, and she came all the way back from that. So shout out to her for getting in fourth place after spine surgery.
Yes, people, he really is a doctor. He doesn't just play one on the radio.
No doubt. Shout out to her for that. She definitely did come in fourth. She had a lot of hype coming into these Olympics. People wanted to see her, like I said, and, you know, but it is what it is. I mean, in terms of other track and field, what is there that we can say about Usain Bolt? I mean, there's nothing we really can say about the man other than the fact.
I can say that Usain Bolt will probably never run his actual fastest race because no one's ever going to be close enough to push him to it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sonya. Shout out to Sonya Richards Ross for winning the 400. Shout out to Allison Felix for winning the 200. Shout out to Kellyanne Frazier Price for winning the 100. Shout out to Jeter for coming in second in the silver.
I put my paws on Allison before Lolo if they was lined up.
Yeah,
Lolo. There's a
guard
somewhere.
I know that Austin, his Shelly-Ann Frazier Price is like the top of his list, yo, because he's like number one in her fan club, yo. He'd be number one.
I am. Oh, followed by Jeter. Jeter's number two. Jeter's number two.
Is she Jamaican?
Yeah,
yes, she is.
She's a Jamaican.
Oh, yeah, with the wagon?
Yeah, the wagon.
Okay.
My girl Carmelita, she's second on the list.
She's Herschel Walker, dog. She's cut up like a Roman, like a Adonis. She looked like Adonis.
Yeah. Yo, I'm gonna like tell Adonis y'all, man. Shout out to all of the female track athletes in the world. Especially the sprinters, hurdlers, and jumpers. Love y'all. But we got to get out of here.
Let's get you off there before you get jumped.
We got to get out of here. Thanks for joining us in the war room, good people. Shout out to everyone who chimed in today, either in the chat room, on Facebook or Twitter, or by calling into the show. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for more on the Olympic Games and much more from the world of sports. Until then, continue enjoying the games, have a great weekend, and catch our conversations this week.
That your team can affect my queen. Gold and platinum plaque since I stepped on the scene. I mean, keep the scene. Jacuzzi full of women. She hitting me and him much love like Wimbledon. My screaming killer. I'm overseas in my villa. The mama suits nothing killer. Queen switch the plan. Cop the Lexus land. See gutter. Rockefeller 400s and better. Lucy's push threes with five in his eyes. Knock a knock, go cry for Mary Blige. I die for my back to steal. Chicken heads with sex appeal. Reveal sexual acts to pick a pose act. The chocolate dime, watch the mafia shine. Girls, get your own. Can't touch a dime of mine.
And if you don't stop, then we won't stop. Continuous leader. You can be as good as the best of them, but as bad as the world. So don't test me. You better move over. You can be as good as the best of them, but as bad as the world. So don't test me. You better move over.
Big mama. In Tijuana, some call me Donna, Karen or Armani, gas for the Panani, for brown nose crushes, cat killing lovers, ignorant mother. Drop a Benz on Miata, this honey's got her, sweet pinata, six shots. Luke Kim the Black, Erica Kane, and who remains in Chanel frames and animals of all kinds. Russian Fendi safes, we're matching pool tapes. Read the label,
mafia.
Admire in my shoes by Gucci, I be eating sushi, playing with my. Counting loot. I got banks to rob, convertible stars. I'm married to the mob.
And if you don't stop, then we won't stop. Continuously to get money. You can be as good as the best of them, but as bad as the worst. So don't test me.
Get money.
You better move over.
Get money.
You can be as good as the best of them, but as bad as the worst. So don't test me.
Get money.
You better move over. Frank White, the desperado. Used to rock the all black Mavado, the all black Eldorado. All that and the bottle of Dom P. Can't harm me, I keep the army. Is Brooklyn in the house? Without a doubt, I'm the rapper with clout. Everybody yap about, check it out. Guns I bust them, problems with my wife, don't discuss them. Coops and Lear jets, I lust them. Fingerprints, I dust them. Recent address,
what?
Suck it for your stash in your pissy mattress. Your mom's an actress, didn't want to show me the safe. It's okay, she was on anyway, I display. Hot 97 rhyme ready, cop Mac 11 line steady. Like Tevin Campbell, I'm ready to do what I do continuously.
Get money.
You can be as good as the best of them, but as bad as the worst. So don't test me.
Get money.
You better move over.
Get money.
You can be as good as the best of them, but as bad as the worst. So don't test me.
Get money.
You better move over.
Get money.
96 Catalog, Cesaria De Janeiro.
Get money.
Big Mama Queen B, Mafioso, notorious, well known Frank
Get
White.
Money.